Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. You know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Ah, it is Taz and the Moose here on this Tuesday morning, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. We're going to talk to, right now, hit the guest line as we kick off the third and final hour. Let's welcome aboard Dan Orlovsky, 12-year NFL vet. Also, the Backup Plan podcast joins us now. Hey, Dan, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Good to be here. What's going on, guys?
What's going on, Danny? How's everything? All right?
Very good. Well, besides more snow, I live in the Philadelphia, but besides more snow, everything is good,
man. Yeah, it's been a tough winter. You know, Taz and I were talking about earlier on, what do you think about Keenum and the fit in Denver with the Broncos?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really smart signing for Case's, you know, vintage point. I came out, you know, free agency for him. It was going to be paramount that he found a place that was similar to Minnesota last year for his position, because when it came to the quarterback position in the NFL last year, Keenum's was the easiest out of the 32 jobs because he had two really good receivers. They were the top pass-catching duo in the NFL last year. And then he had a play caller who obviously went on now as the head coach of the Giants, and Pat Shurmur. And then he had a really good top three, top four defense. So, you know, with those elements being in place, he was able to be successful. And I think he needs those elements in place to be successful. Every quarterback does, but it's paramount for him. And so when you looked at teams, in his case, okay, what teams present that? And I think Denver was the one at the top of the list that presented those, with Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. And then Musgrave is going to run a very similar offense that he had with Pat Shurmur. So team-wise, it'll be a good fit for him. And then obviously Denver has a top-end defense. So I think it's a good fit for them. For him, you know, Denver still, I don't think they've solved the quarterback situation, but it's a better situation today than they were in yesterday.
Yeah, agree with you on that, Dan. Hey, so what do you think, man? You know, you hear all the chat for so long. It's finally going to come to an end here eventually over the next couple days about Kirk Cousins. So what's the best spot, Dan, in your opinion? I keep thinking he's going to go to the Jets. Moose agrees with me. I think you agree with me on that, right, Moose?
Yeah.
So we're thinking Jets here. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't see it for the Jets. Here's my reasoning. So I think Cousins is not looking for the major dollars. If you listen to Kirk, and I know him a little bit, but if you listen to him talk and just the people around him talk, you know, this is the guy 2 years ago when he got franchise tag said, I'm going to make more money this year than I ever thought I would. So he just doesn't come off as this guy who's going to chase the top-end dollar to me. The second thing is this. The number one reason why he didn't sign in Washington is because of the organizational dysfunction, just the roller coaster ride organizationally. That guy, Kirk Cousins, wants structure. He wants consistency. I guarantee he's the guy who wakes up and has that same routine every morning. And he wants that out of his organization. And I just don't think the Jets present that to him, because here's the thing. He signs with the Jets, and they start 1-3. What are they going to do with Todd Bowles? Is he getting canned?
Right.
Is he getting fired? And then Kirk Cousins is in the same situation organizationally that he was in Washington. And I just, for those reasons, I think he wants to go to Minnesota, because Minnesota's going to give him that structure. That head coach is not going anywhere. Their general manager is not going anywhere. They've got a play caller who's going to be creative and dynamic. And I know Jeremy Bates is in with the Jets, and that organization or that scheme for Kirk Cousins fits. But I just think, you know, Kirk Cousins has had a bottom 10 defense the last 3 years in Washington. He doesn't have to deal with that in Washington. In
with
Minnesota.
The Vikings,
when he goes to Minnesota, he doesn't have to be Superman. I just think for that organizational structure, for what he craves, I think Minnesota is going to be the better fit for him in his mind.
You know, Dan, you mentioned, you know, Kirk a little bit. I want to ask you this. How does blame go all the way around? How did it get so sideways down in D.C. for him and the organization?
Well, I think it was such a unique situation, because it was every general manager's dream. You found your really good franchise quarterback in the later rounds of the draft. Every general manager dreams of finding that, of doing that, because then you are so ahead of every other team because you have a stolen first-round pick. And then he always was that fourth-round pick to them, it seemed. They always viewed him as just the fourth-round pick no matter what he did. It was kind of like a double-edged sword. He was the fourth-round pick that they found, but then he was only just the fourth-round pick. If he was RG3, if he was taken at the same spot at RG3 at number two, they would have signed him well before they'd ever gotten to that dysfunctional situation. I just think that they always viewed him as just the fourth-round pick and never viewed him as their face of the franchise. And I think Kirk, I want to say, was offended by that, but I think Kirk sat back and said, well, obviously you guys don't understand what's going on here. You guys don't have a good grip of how to run this from the top down efficiently and well, and I need to be a part of a place that is run incredibly well. I think that's a big deal to him. I truly believe that organizational structure is the number one desire for him right now in his career.
Okay. Hey, so let's shift gears a teeny bit, man. So, Dan, the Browns, right? They made all these trades last weekend, right? You know, I think it was on Friday. It was just, they were the buzz of Friday into the weekend and everything that they did. How does it grade out for you, in your opinion, with those Browns trades? Give me a breakdown. Give us your breakdown on that.
Yeah, I mean, let's start with Tyrod Taylor. I think the Tyrod Taylor move makes a lot of sense. Tyrod Taylor's a good player. He's not a great player.
Right.
He's better than what they had, you know? And so he's a good, solid player. You can go be a part of a winning football team with Tyrod Taylor. So that makes sense. I don't think Tyrod Taylor is your long-term answer. And Tyrod Taylor's done nothing to make you think that. He's just a good, solid quarterback, which is more than you can say you had last year.
Right.
So that's
right.
A good move by them. The Jarvis Landry trade is brilliant. Jarvis yep. Landry is, you know, for me, is a very much a Steve Smith type of guy. He, you know, people just peg him as, man, he's super tough and competitive. And yes, he's that, but he makes your whole football team better because of those reasons, not just at the wide receiver position. And then also, if you watch him on tape, he consistently wins in man-to-man coverage. When the Browns are going to line up and they've got Josh Gordon on one side of the field and defenses are going to play man defense, and then that free safety is going to have to just shade a little bit to Josh Gordon, Jarvis Landry is going to get a lot of favorable matchups. And so you have now another guy for your quarterback to win in man-to-man situations. I don't love Demaryius Randall, the corner that they brought in from Green Bay. I don't love his game, but he's an athletic guy that supposedly they're going to move to safety. But here's my viewpoint on these trades. They don't matter unless you hit on your quarterback in this draft. They don't. They're nice moves, and they're important moves. But if you go into this draft and try to get cute and take Saquon Barkley and the quarterback you like, hopefully he's at four, and he's not there, those trades don't matter. Because as a GM in the NFL, you need to have a vision of this year, absolutely. But you better have a vision of 5 years from now. And none of these trades are truly impacting 5 years from now. And you need to find your quarterback that is going to change your organization's face for the next decade. Not be a good piece, but they need to change the organization. And that's why it's so paramount that they still need to hit on that quarterback.
We're talking to Dan Orlovsky, a 12-year NFL vet. Check out the podcast, Backup Plan Podcast. Dan, let's look at some of these college prospects, right? We've been hearing a lot about them. If I asked you, Dan, best – The prospect you have the most confident in of these quarterbacks, most confidence in, who would that be, Dan?
Yeah, it's Sam Darnold. You know, for me, it's been Sam Darnold. And as I spent a ton of time over the last month watching the free agent tape of the quarterbacks that are in the NFL. And now I've really started to go into the college world now that free agency is hitting and the draft is, I don't know, 5-6 weeks away. Sam Darnold, when you watch him on tape, I'm still trying to find reasons for somebody to tell me why I shouldn't like him. He's got – people talk about his long delivery. Watch his tape. His delivery is very quick. Pinpoint accuracy. His creative ability in the pocket. I call it – he's got magical sloppiness. There's this guy where, you know, you take Tony Romo and Roethlisberger and kind of put them together. Everything he does is just a little bit sloppy, even the bad, even the good. And here's the two traits I love about him the most, and these are unique. You can't find these in a lot of guys, and it's paramount for quarterback success in the NFL. One, he can judge – the angles and speeds of how guys run routes. And that's so important because guys run routes differently and they get bumped off in their routes and windows are different. You've got to be able to judge those things in the blink of an eye. And two, his feet don't need to be perfect to be accurate. You know football. I mean, the pocket is chaos and your feet aren't consistently perfect. If guys if guy, I can go out there and have perfect feet and be accurate, yeah, but I wasn't the guy who could have imperfect feet and still be accurate. He's one of those guys, and that's really a special trait, and those are the reasons why, you know, for me, he stands out above the rest as a guy to worthy of that investment.
Well, speaking of guys coming out of the draft, let me ask you, so what do you think about a kid I like a lot, big cannon arm, you know, out of Wyoming, Josh Allen, who, you know, he's a big kid, 6'5", almost 240 pounds. Yeah, I know he's coming out of Wyoming, but, you know, there's the, do you see that parallel a lot of people see with him and Wentz? Or Dan, just give us your breakdown of Josh Allen.
Yeah, so here's my thing with that stuff. When it comes to the size, I don't necessarily care, because if you look at the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, they all look different. Brady looks different than Rodgers, and Rodgers looks different than Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan looks different than Russell Wilson. You know, they all look different, and so the size thing isn't a huge deal to me. The second thing is the big cannon arm. You know, this guy can throw the ball a mile. I don't care about that, because the football field's 100 yards, and so I need you to be able to be accurate and with timing and rhythm, and so that's the big deal to me. My third thing is this. I struggle to find a guy that really had some eyebrow-raising accuracy issues in college that got better in the NFL, because it gets harder once you get to the NFL. The windows are smaller. The defenses are better. And then my fourth thing is this. If you look at all the quarterbacks that have had success in the NFL that have come from smaller schools, Culpepper, Steve McNair, Chad Pennington, Carson Wentz, Joe Flacco, those guys dominated at the college level. I mean, flat out dominated at the smaller school level. Josh Allen never really did. You watch his games, you look at the stat lines, and you watch the game logs, there's never these moments of consistent domination. And those, to me, make me go, huh, what's going on there? You know, what's there that I'm missing? And so I think those are the elements for me that make me go, I'm much more hesitant on Josh Allen than a lot of people are.
All right, how about Mayfield?
Yeah, Mayfield is a guy that, you know, it's 6 months ago, I was kind of like, I don't know much about him. And then I had a conversation with Matt Leiner, and Matt Leiner was like, dude, watch Baker Mayfield. He'll be a first-round pick. And my initial reaction was, get out of here. And so I started to watch his games more and more, and I started to break him down more. There's a couple things I like about him. Yes, his attitude is and his competitiveness is great. I love that. People talk about the maturity. Well, one of the reasons we all mature is because we get to watch somebody above us, someone in front of us, do it the right way. And that's how we grow up. That's how we mature. So I think it's important that whoever drafts him has somebody in place that kind of guides him along, that teaches him the NFL way, because there is an NFL way. You're no longer sleeping on a futon playing FIFA with your buddies. You know, you're a CEO.
Nothing wrong with that, by the way.
No, for sure. Well, I mean, for a $1 billion company,
I hear you.
They kind of view it differently.
Of course,
and then,
yeah.
My second thing is, if you watch him throw the football, he's got this kind of thing he does with his back foot where, instead of upon release and kind of stepping through it like a lot of guys do, he screws his back foot into the ground. And it's a really, you know, kind of unique thing that he does. The only other guy that comes to mind that does it is John Elway. And I just know, like, Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak, guys of that Shanahan tree love that trait in quarterbacks because it promotes really good upper body mechanics. And it's just started making my mind think of, okay, who's from that tree in the NFL right now? And it hit me that Jeremy Bates with the Jets, you know, I know he's going to love that trait about Mayfield. I think Mayfield has the opportunity to be really, really good in the NFL, but he's going to need somebody there with him, helping him along, and he's going to have to make the decision to mature. You know, it's not he's immature, it's do you want to be mature? And that'll be important, but I think he's got the skill set to be a good player.
Dan, we've got through Mayfield, Allen, Darnold. Let's just finish it off. How about Rosen out of UCLA? A lot of people love the skill set, certainly has not been able to stay healthy for the Bruins, and on the field, people question his commitment to football as well. What about Josh Rosen?
Yeah, I like Rosen too. You know, I think that he's custom made for the Giants. You know, when I watch Rosen, who do I think of 14 years ago is Eli. You know, very structured, very refined. You know, he's probably the best NFL accuracy of the guys coming out this year. You know, he's when I say NFL accuracy, I'm talking about the ball's on the right shoulder, not in the middle of your chest. The ball's face mask or higher down in the red zone, stuff like that, very little specific stuff. So I like his game. The people who question him, you know, his teammates don't like him. I've heard people don't like Tom Brady, and I've heard people don't like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's just the nature of the position, because sometimes you're out there by yourself, and that leadership position at the quarterback role is lonely sometimes. And then, you know, people who say he doesn't love the game or doesn't need the game – Have you spent intimate time with them? Have you gotten up at 5 o'clock in the morning and worked out with them? You know, how do you know that? So, you know, I think his skill set really transitions to a Pat Shurmur offense with the Giants. I do like him, but my only concern with him is the injuries. Now, I'll say this: more often than not, when quarterbacks get hurt, the team around them stinks. You know, because they're getting beat up. And so, you know, if you look at the quarterbacks in the NFL that stay healthy, it's really because, one, they've got good players around them so they can block and catch, and then, two, they understand how to get the ball out of their hands. And so that'll be something for his transition is, can he learn that process of getting the ball in his hands to kind of, you know, in a way, keep yourself healthy.
Dan Orlovsky, 12-year NFL vet. Dan, as you're breaking down all this game film, what's more enjoyable, breaking down the game film or going to Disney with the family, which you just got back from a little vacation?
Yeah, you know, I want to be honest. Go to Disney with my family is really like the greatest thing ever for me. I love Disney World. You know, to begin with, I love it. And then, you know, if Disney World was like 50% cheaper, it would be more fun. But the fact that it's like $800 for my family just to step foot in Magic Kingdom hits me in the face a little bit. But I do love going to Disney with my kids. They have a blast. They're at a good age for it, too. So.
Well, our board op, Pete the Body, basically lives at Disney every summer.
He just adores
Disney World.
He does.
Hey, Danny, we appreciate the time. Him. Hello? Yes.
He's gonna be gone. Huh? Yeah, thanks, Dan.
There you go. Yeah. I think we lost him. Dan Orlovsky, 12-year NFL vet. Check out the podcast, Backup Plan. As well, as Dan gave you a good feel and liked the fit of Keenum in Denver, Taz, and thought it would work, and certainly talked a lot about the positives of each and every one of the quarterbacks in April's NFL draft. Allen, Mayfield,
yeah.
The comparison of the throwing motion with John Elway, with Mayfield, certainly Josh Rosen. Like Darnold above and beyond everything else, though.
Yeah, no, I understand. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I mean, I think Donald's got a lot of things that could make him great. I just think his accuracy sometimes could be, you know, just at USC, you know. I mean, just like last year, he threw, he threw something like 13 or 14 interceptions, you know. So, I mean, yeah, I've seen him play twice. It's tough to judge a guy just seeing him play twice. And, you know, he could sometimes, I don't know if his accuracy's there, but, you know, I mean, look, experts are saying he has got everything it needs to be a top three pick or whatever, and I'm sure he's going to be that great.
We played a cut earlier on the show from Ron Hunter, the head coach of Georgia State, as he gets his basketball team set for March Madness to take on the Bearcats of Cincinnati. Coach will join Taz and myself. We're going to do that next as we roll right along here on this Tuesday morning. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Talk a little Georgia State basketball. Ron Hunter will join us next right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
What college athletics should be about is what's happening at Georgia State. Not all this FBI stuff and all this other stuff. It's about these guys right here to eat at McDonald's. You know, what? They told us today that Cincinnati gets to stay at the Hyatt. We got to stay at Comfort Inn. Cincinnati gets to eat at Ruth Chris. We got to eat at Wendy's. But when it comes Friday at 2 o'clock, oh, we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready to play. And so I can guarantee you that.
That is the voice of the Georgia State Panthers basketball coach, Hunter. It is a very, very entertaining cut, a very good quote. And Coach Hunter joins us now. Hey, Coach, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Hey, thanks, guys. Never me on.
You got it. That is a fantastic cut. You know, David up against Goliath, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, a couple years ago, we had the same situation with Baylor, and, you know, we pulled up, and we saw where Baylor was staying at the nice place, and we had to stay at the Holiday Inn, and I kind of got our guys going with that and said, hey, listen, that's okay, but we got a place to stay, we got a place to eat, but we also got a place to play.
Hey, Coach, I love it. I said earlier in the show here, Moose and I was saying you're painting that picture for your guys, which is legit. Hey, the little engine that could, because you build a chip on your guy's shoulder. I respect that. You're fighting from underneath. It's awesome, and you got this big test of Cincinnati coming at you. But I got to ask you on the hotel thing. Now, I'm assuming you guys are fully funded, right, at Georgia State?
Yeah, we're doing okay. We're all right. We're doing okay.
All right, that's what I was figuring, man.
it's a little, you know, I got to find it, every little thing I can find to make sure I get my guys ready. Hey, man, we're okay, you know. And you know what? And Wendy's is okay. As long as they're not a supersize, we're okay with Wendy's.
That is fantastic. Coach, you feel as good about your team this go-around as the success that he had last go-around?
Well, we know we're playing a really good team. I love Nick and what he's done in Cincinnati, but I've got a really good team. I've taken some this is my third team I've taken to the NCAA tournament, and I think this is the best team that I've taken to the NCAA tournament, the most talented team I've taken. So I'm really excited about this group and showcase this group. And, you know, I love the group that I have with my son. But again, we have to deficit with that group. We think this group is well-rounded, and I love this group because they play with a chip on their shoulder, and their coach the same way. So we're going in with a lot of confidence. We know we have a great deal of respect for Cincinnati, but we're really ready to showcase our team to the nation.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's tough not to root for a squad like yours, Coach. And I personally, my own opinion, I'm rooting for you guys against the Bearcats, so I'm pulling for you. But let me ask you, how good is DeMarcus Simon stuff for you guys?
He's really good. And whether it's this year or next year, I think he's going to be a first-round pick. He's got a lot of NBA attention throughout the entire year. But this guy can really, really play. And so my son's mad at me because I said he's the best player ever, Coach. George Hill just called me the other day. I coach George Hill. He's pissed at me now, too, because I said this kid's the best kid I ever coached. So the next pro I get, I'm saying the same thing. I told RJ, I got to do something to get this guy ready to play. So RJ said, I'm not talking to you, Dan, if he's the best player you ever coached.
Well, I could have. I mean, you know, what did you tell your son? And everything tongue-in-cheek, but what did you tell your son? RJ was a great player for you, Coach.
Yeah, he was. He really was. And so when I said that, I forgot, you know, not only did he tell me that, he called his mom, told his mom that. Now, she hasn't spoken to me since I did the call.
He talked his mom. I love it.
That is fantastic.
I said this kid's the best player I've ever coached. So, you know, maybe I better retract that a little bit if I want to have dinner tonight.
Yeah, you got to do the right thing, man.
Well, when you look at the matchup, and certainly when you look at what your squad, what your team you think can do successfully against Cincinnati, Coach, what do you need to do to pull off the 15-2 upset?
Well, what we got to do is we got to take care of the ball. It's really the same game plan we felt like we had with Baylor. And actually, you know, we really had Xavier on the ropes, so we played them also to get to the Sweet 16. You got to take care of the ball. But more importantly, when you get to this, I played in the NCAA tournament, I coached in there. You got to go in with a lot of confidence. You got to really believe that you can win. I think sometimes what happens when coaches, they get in these moments and all of a sudden they give coach talk. Then guess what? Your kids start believing in that. I want my kids to know that I'm really confident that we can win this game, period. And I want them to play that way. All the X and O stuff, we've done that all year. My kids, mentally, today, if they don't believe today that we can win that game Friday, we have no chance to win it. And so, really, we want to do what we've been doing, but we're going to go into practice today. We're going to put the game plan in. But more importantly, I want them to believe that we're going to win this game at 2 o'clock. And if I do anything different, I'm doing them a disservice.
Well, you sound like just an amazing motivator, Coach. Hence your success. So why don't you explain to people listening how vital, man, how important it is to get the right start in such a difficult tournament, a field of 68, like this tournament, and how important it is to kick it off the right way.
The first thing we got to do is that we have to win the first media. Win the first media timeout. Get yourself relaxed. With all the life. We've got a couple of players that have played in this game before, so they won't be too excited about it. But our whole thing is this. I'm going to tell them this. If we're within two possessions in that last media timeout, we're going to win the game. That's exactly what we said at Baylor. Get it to the last media timeout and be within two possessions, and we will win the game. Why? Because that entire arena will go to the underdog. And we'll have all that adrenaline going, man. If we get to that, oh, man, I'm going to just call timeout and just soak up that standing ovation and make have to calm his guys down. Because if we get to that, we really think we can win this game if we can get it to that last media.
All right, what concerns you, Coach, when you look at, you mentioned, you know, Mick Cronin's done a fantastic job with that Cincinnati Bearcat program, a 30-4 in the regular season, the number 2 seed in the South. Game is going to be at 2 p.m. Eastern time in Nashville on Friday. When you look at Cincinnati, what do you need to take away from the Bearcats on Friday? What fear do you have when you look at this Bearcat team?
Well, defensively, they're just so good. You know, they can really stifle you and really make things bad for you offensively. And so And the more you turn it over, or the more you don't get you don't make baskets, the better their defense gets. It's almost like it's like a snowball going down a hill. You've got to be able to score some points because, again, they feed off their defense. They're so good defensively, and it just gets them going. And the more you can't score, the more you turn over, they get more stops. They get more turnovers. And so that's the biggest fear that I've got, that he's making sure that we get baskets and we just don't turn over. I don't even mind if we don't get baskets. What we can't have is turnovers to give them easy points.
No, that's fair. And Cincinnati wants to, I mean, they want to use their physicality, right? I mean, it's a case of they want to frustrate you. They're not going to run out for, they're not going to try and outgun you offensively. They want to make it kind of a brawl and play you physical, correct?
Yeah, they do. And so, you know, we might have to make some adjustments with that. And I hope the officials we have are my cousin, my uncle, my dad. So we can call fouls, you know?
Yeah.
I'll send some extra tickets or something. So if we can get some officials that we like, and it will make some fouls. Also, when I first meet the officials in a handshake, you know, I'm gonna hold their hand just a little tighter, smile at them a little bit, just say, listen, you know, give us a couple now. No, that's just what they feel. Their physicality is something that leads to their defense. And so again, if the game is called that way, again, that definitely tends to favor Cincinnati.
Well, Coach, I got to tell you, I respect how real you are. My son's a college athlete, and he doesn't play basketball, but I respect how real you are as a coach and as a person, not just a coach. And I think that it just sounds like, I don't know you from a hole in the wall, but it sounds like you got legitimate connectivity to your players, which, as you know, as a coach at this level is vital. So I tip my cap to you.
Well, I appreciate that, man. And again, I'm going to be who I am, whether I'm in the NCAA tournament or they put me in the lowly CBI or whatever those other things they put in. So we're just going to be who we are. But I appreciate you guys having me on, man.
No, yeah, Coach, I want to ask you one more before we let you go, and that is this. Sure. How hard is it? You mentioned it. You played, you've coached, you've had success. You've got a couple guys on your team that have played in the tournament before. But you know this, I mean, better than anybody, I mean, to go through this for the first time, how do you get guys ready, mentally prepared? Is there any way you can for what they're going to experience Friday afternoon in Nashville?
No, you really don't. But what we do is we talk about it. You know, I don't want to hide anything from any of our kids. And we told them yesterday when we got back from New Orleans is that, you know, hey, listen, you know, I'm going to make you enjoy this. You may never get this experience in your life. What we're not going to do is walk in there with fear. But we're going to enjoy this. I'm not going to hide. You know, we're not going to have all these, you know, let's just stay in the hotel. I want them to enjoy this, to embrace this, to do all the things that come with this. I remember as a player, I don't know if I got it. I went to three NCAA tournaments, and I don't know how much I got to really enjoy it. And I know as a coach, I want my kids to enjoy it, because the more they can enjoy it, the more they'll relax.
Coach, when you went through it as a player, did your coach talk about enjoying it or no?
No, man. I called my coach the other day, and he, you know, he's a good guy, and that's one of the reasons why I'm in coaching. I said, man, you locked us up in the room. We were in the Georgetown region when they had Patrick Ewing and those guys, and they used to kind of lock their guys in. So our coach at Miami, man, he kind of locked us in. We never did anything. I never saw the city. All we went was from the game. Then we got beat in the first round. We went home. I don't remember anything about it. So, I was blessed to play in it. But I wanted our kids to enjoy it, just like we did, when, you know, a couple of years ago when I had my son. I thought that was really important. I said, you know, at least my son, when we go to the NCAA tournament, we went as a father and son. It was great. We enjoyed it. But we enjoyed the experience. And all these other kids that play for me, they're like my kids. And I want them to come back and say, Coach, I so much enjoy the NCAA tournament. So I want them to enjoy it. And the best way to enjoy it is to have fun. But more importantly than that, it's to win games.
Yeah.
If you can win games in the tournament, now you can really enjoy it. And that's what I've had all my guys from when we beat Baylor. They're going to be at practice this morning to tell them how that feeling felt. But before we do anything, all of my former players are going to speak to this team and say what it feels like to win a game in the NCAA tournament.
You know what, Coach? I mean, it's a fantastic message. And honestly, when you look at this field of 68, it's about the Georgia States. It's about the Cinderellas Thursday and Friday when this gets going. It's about the upset. Everybody wants to root for the underdog.
Oh, man, I tell you what. I told our guys, I said, If we went on Friday, we're not going back to that conference game. We're going to go stay in Cincinnati. if we can get them out there, okay, we're standing there on Friday night.
So. There you go. Hey, Coach, we appreciate it. Good luck on Friday against the Bearcats, and have a good practice this morning, and we'll chat again real soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. God
thank you, Coach.
You got it. That is Georgia State.
Great energy, Ben's man. Just great
coach.
Energy,
fantastic.
Right?
Fantastic. Great. Positive message. I mean, you love it. Talked about his team enjoying it. You mentioned the connectivity with his players. I mean, there's a lot to like about Ron Hunter. And he was a player and now a coach and doing good things at Georgia State. AB is in the house with an update. Take it away, Andrew.
Guys, your update is brought to you by Werner Ladder. Werner's the official ladder of NCAA March Madness and the official ladder of professional contractors everywhere. Werner, number one in ladders. The Vikings, Cardinals, and Jets have less competition for Kirk Cousins this morning. The Broncos going with Case Keenum instead.
Thank you to John Elway.
Their marriage can't be official until tomorrow afternoon. Financial details not known yet, but Keenum cashing in Denver somehow off his career year in Minnesota. The Jaguars agreeing in principle with former Panther Andrew Norwell on a five-year deal that will make him the highest-paid guard in the NFL. The Chiefs expected to sign wideout Sammy Watkins, and the Bears reportedly have a deal in place with former Jags receiver Allen Robinson. The expectation remains that Drew Brees signs with the Saints, but just in case, multiple teams, including the Vikings, have reportedly touched base with agent Tom Condon. The Blazer win streak is 10 after a 115-99 final with the Heat, 32 points and 10 assists for Damian Lillard. The Grizzly losing streak is 18 after the Bucks won in Memphis, 121-103. Somebody get Marc Gasol a win.
It's about, you know, finding enough guys to go to battle and win a game. That's for me is the only thing that matters right now. It's to win, as bad as that sounds, to win a game.
The Spurs not struggling as badly, but have dropped 5 of 6 after last night's 109-93 final in Houston. But Kawhi Leonard could be back Thursday. He and Greg Popovich will discuss today. Celtics GM Danny Ainge denying that guard Marcus Smart has a torn tendon in his right thumb. Ainge says Smart has a sprained ligament. Smart is getting a second opinion. LIU, Brooklyn, and Radford are first, then UCLA and St. Bonaventure as the first four begins in Dayton, tipping off at 6:40 Eastern. Longtime ref Ted Valentine says he's not working the NCAA tournament as further backlash for turning his back on North Carolina guard Joel Berry during a January game. Valentine says he and UNC work things out. He doesn't understand why he's still being punished. The NCAA did
wow,
not.
Wow, it was a terrible
comment.
Look for Valentine.
I mean, it was awful.
I mean, it was awful. I mean, you can't. I mean, the fact that he's being held accountable to turn your back on a player and on Joel Berry, and then he's walking off in frustration. He could say that he maybe saved him a technical. It is a terrible, terrible look. And Valentine shouldn't be in the NCAA tournament.
No, I'm with you. I mean, he was a bad ref even before.
He was
a
bad
that,
referee,
so
but you can't be doing that to Berry.
No. And Alex Ovechkin.
Or any player, honestly.
No, that's bad.
Alex Ovechkin scored twice in his Capitals 3-2 OT win over Winnipeg last night. The second goal, the 600th of his career, is the 20th all-time, the fourth fastest to reach that milestone. Guys.
All right, thank you, AB. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That is your number to call coming up straight ahead as we are wrapping up hour number three. Still a lot to get into. Leftovers and the Tiger Woods effect.
Uh-oh.
We'll explain next. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com. And remember, go to facebook.com/Taz and the Moose and sign up for the Taz and the Moose bracket challenge. And you'll have till, what is it, Thursday at noon is the cutoff time, I believe it is.
I think it is.
Noon Eastern time is the cutoff time. So sign up and we'll figure out something to put on the line. Maybe tomorrow we'll announce that for Thursday. And whoever wins, you go from there.
Yeah, I just don't want it to be nothing that's like, I don't want to have to eat any, like, I'm not, if I lose, Like, I'm not eating, like, no bad stuff.
Gotcha.
Like, I'm not that type of guy. I'm not like some bum. Like,
okay,
a
so
punk.
No food on the line. All right.
Yeah. Well, for, you know, I just to me, that's immature. Well, this show here is very highbrow, not sophomoric.
Gotcha.
So, you know what I mean? So, nice. You know, like, I'm just saying. So, we kind of go that route. You know, we're a morning show. We're Morning Drive Jones, but we keep everything stern, serious, and we don't screw around up here. Okay.
No, that's not true. I mean, we don't have to. You don't have to eat anything sloppy if you don't want to eat any Mexican spicy food.
I love Mexican food.
You don't want to eat any Chinese spicy food. A little Thai food.
Mugu Gai Pan.
You want to go a little the one chip challenge? You can go that route.
Mugu Gai Pan, the greatest name of any food.
Yes.
Mugu Gai Pan.
Very funny.
Remember, that's not funny. It's just good food. So. That's funny. So you know, Mugu Gai Pan, or you can go maybe. Well, we're not going food. Why am I going food? We're not going food. I don't think food's good. I don't want to see.
Call
that.
Chef.
I'll be honest. I heard.
Why not?
I heard this is a really. It's actually a sad. I'm not even going to say the story. I'm going to just tell everybody out there. If you got kids, or if you're an adult, that's you. Maybe you're crushing beers like me all the time, and you're drinking the muck. Be careful when you get drunk. Don't take a challenge of eating a slug. No one out there should ever eat a slug, and I'm not kidding.
Okay.
Because it can really mess you up. And I'll tell you off air what happened to somebody I know. I heard about this. It's a bad deal. I'm not joking. I know, you know, sometimes I joke around, ha ha, but this time I'm not. So don't eat slugs, Moose.
Yeah,
I
don't care how much I never had the inclination ever to eat a slug.
Well, you got little ones. I know. I don't. You know. I know. I've called you. I've talked to you on the phone when you're home, and sometimes
yeah,
it sounds a little
that,
crazy at your house.
It
sometimes.
Is crazy. I don't think.
Just be careful.
I don't think they'd ever eat a slug.
Well, just in the yard. I don't know if you got grass or you got grass.
I do have grass.
Around.
Yeah. I don't. I think that's. I don't think.
Just.
I'll be careful. I think they're more inclined to try and. Attack like an animal than they would be
slug. And watch that grass. Watch dirt and grass in your yard. That could be a problem too with kids because that brings animals. My yard, when I was a kid growing up in Brooklyn, cement. Everything was cement, no problem.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it hurt when you slide into the second in the backyard. That would hurt a little bit. Toughen you up, make it a little tough. Toughen your skin up, a little rashy. You know
yeah,
I mean?
I never slid when I played stickball in Astoria.
I don't picture you being a slider.
I did not.
When you got on base, they put a runner on. That's what I think.
I hit the ball a country mile.
Oh, I can imagine. Stud Jones, like Mickey Mantle. The Mick, they called you.
Yeah, that's
Mick,
it.
Mick too.
Playing with my uncle. Playing a little handball. Playing a little stickball. Playing a little basketball in Astoria.
That's what I told
in Brooklyn.
You. You're a
so there you
home
go.
Run king, little league stud, unlike these other people that are around the show that sucked at little league.
Yes. No slugs, no grass, and don't slide on pavement.
There
are your life lessons for today. Let's get to a little leftovers.
It's time now to dig into some leftovers with Taz and the Moose. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, fire away, Mike.
Tiger Woods impact ratings on Sunday. 5.1 overnight rating for NBC. The highest non-major PGA Tour broadcast since 2013 for the Players' Championship.
He's a ratings machine.
That's called moving the needle, sir. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
People care about Tiger Woods regardless of what happened in the past. He's an unbelievable player when he was at the peak. Dominant. Set the world of golf, put it on its ear, raised revenue, generated all kinds of money, purses. I mean, the Tiger impact on America is unquestioned. And since he's been banged up, hurt, taking a step away from golf, it's felt its gain. It's felt its loss. I mean, Justin Thomas, wonderful player. Jordan Spieth, wonderful player. Rory McIlroy, they're just not on the level of what Tiger Woods can do. And everybody loves a comeback story. And you started to see that impact at the Valspar Championships this past weekend. So that will, if as long as he continues to play and play well, ratings for golf will continue to go up.
Ooh. Tom Brady crushed one beer on Stephen Colbert. He also had a strawberry. Your thoughts on Brady consuming something not good for you?
I have a whole new respect for him. It's a little hypocritical on him because he acts like all he eats is blackberries and fennel seeds. But that's not true. He's obviously pounding beers and crushing beers. And he took Colbert to the task. And he actually left a little bit. If you watch it, the Brady left a little bit of beer in it. He was already smoked Colbert, who's a lightweight punk. But and then you saw him go back to the beer, Moose, and finish it. did Brady in two sets.
Right.
It's not like I couldn't finish in one. I mean, Colbert, man up, sir. Check your britches.
Brady is good at chugging beers.
Hey, that's a Michigan kid right there for you.
There you go.
Fraternity
that's,
Jones.
That's exactly right. Right. Good for Tom Brady. He went away off the diet for 5 seconds.
Next.
Oh.
UConn women's basketball, the number one overall seed in their NCAA tournament. No losses on the season. Would you take UConn women or the field?
No, I'd probably take the Geno's team. Yeah. Even though they're only going about six deep this year. They're five starters and one player coming off the bench. They're not as deep as years gone by. But last year they got knocked off, which was a stunning upset. I'd probably bank on the UConn women as compared to the rest of the field in the ladies' tournament. But interesting side bet. I don't think they're as dominant as they were in years gone by. They're certainly not as deep, but I still think they are the best team.
All right, Mike, what do you got?
All right, okay. All right. I can move along for you.
But is there something wrong?
I didn't know if I thought, Taz, you were going to give your opinion on it.
No, the show's almost over. I don't have to give my opinion. If Moose is going to speak and give his whole opinion, then that's fine. If I have an opinion, I will give it, Mike. Let me be the broadcaster and you be the setup man. When I have an opinion, I'm not afraid to share it. Is this not true, Moose?
No, not afraid. No.
If I don't have an opinion, then I go, next!
I'm a young Steve Nash.
Gotcha.
I keep dishing them to you. America's gambling industry predicts $10 billion will be bet on March Madness.
Nice.
Only 3% will be done legally.
See, this is the problem.
It's a glorious time.
But see, this is the problem, Moose. This is what we got to figure out between you and me. We got to figure some way, somehow, with this bracket.
Yeah, we can't put money on it.
Come on.
No, we can't.
We're not allowed.
No. They're not allowed.
That's just for fun.
No, you can't. You can't put money on it. Not over the airwaves. I don't think that would pass through legal.
Okay.
I'm just getting it. I could be wrong, but I would.
Oh, you're probably right.
I'd venture a guess we cannot do that.
So we got to do something because you just said the gambling's through the roof for the March Madness.
Right. He's talking about money, though. If we put, eat a snail while you're drunk or
don't
do something
snails,
else.
Don't eat snails, I told you. Or slugs.
If you go through that route, you could do that. You could give away.
What?
Some airtime. You could do a shirt.
Stop.
You could give a hat.
Sure, we don't even have shirts.
A CBS Sports Radio hat.
No, we're not giving
that.
Those are not even good hats.
I mean, there's plenty of things, just no finances. But it just shows you, Vegas is fantastic. Vegas is fantastic
yes,
for the NCAA
tournament. You are perking up.
I told you,
I hooked up my man, the professor, Mike, today. You and him, you
run
a muck.
I said that would be strange.
No,
I'd rather go out with my wife rather than go visit Mike today.
He's the man, bro.
He's a great guy. I've interviewed him.
But he runs the sports book out in Vegas.
Fantastic.
You realize that?
That's great. I think it's, like I mentioned earlier when you suggested this, I think it'd be strange if I hopped on a plane to go hang out with Mike Tenay.
I think it'd be great.
Who I've never met before out in Las Vegas, Nevada.
I'll set it up for you. Don't worry. You and
that'd
him
be strange.
Running amok from Vegas down the strip.
I'd rather go out with my wife.
Yeah, you could bring your wife, too.
Gamble a little bit.
Yeah. She could gamble. She could play the jukebox.
I'll speak
jukebox
for Donna. I think she'll pass.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying. I just think you and Mike would hit it off as good buddies.
He's a nice guy.
He's a great guy.
Interviewed him on the Fantasy Football Podcast.
He runs the sportsbook there. He's Handicap Jones. Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Take it
or handicapping, you know what I mean?
And finally, did you see Tom Brady's thumb?
He sliced the fat of his bottom of his thumb. Sliced it pretty good. It was a nice gash. Now we see why he couldn't play, Moose. That was a big, big hole he had there.
Well, why there was the concern he couldn't play. He did play.
Well, that's not me. You know what I mean.
Right.
He didn't play.
He did play. It was stitched up. He did have the bandage on it. And played well against Jacksonville and certainly played in the Super Bowl as well. But, yeah, I would.
You're right, he did play.
Rex Burkhead.
Well, he's the one who did it.
Yes.
And you're right, Moose. He did play. I forgot about that. You're always right. I'm always wrong. You're really cool.
No, why? No. Don't be so sensitive.
I was just making sure
that we got the correct information out there.
Well, because the guy by the water cooler.
He didn't play. Like, what are you,
idiot? Taz. He said he didn't play.
Of course he played. Did he ever? Where were you?
He's not the waiter in Beijing, though. That guy. We haven't found him.
No. No, he's not. But he knows who Tiger Woods is, and he knows who Tom Brady is. There you go. Your leftovers for this Tuesday on Taz and the Moose. And remember, download our podcast each and every day. iTunesRadio.com and tune in and make sure to give us a rating. I want to thank our guests, Dan Orlovsky, for joining us earlier on in the program, and Ron Hunter, the Georgia State men's basketball coach. Mikey B., great job. Pete the Body, fantastic. AB with the updates. Guys did a great job on the calls as well. Give us a follow at Taz and the Moose on Twitter and Instagram. And make sure to sign up for the Taz and the Moose Bracket Challenge. Enjoy your Tuesday, Taz.
Yes, you too, Moose.
Thank you, brother. Have a good one, everyone. Talk to you tomorrow.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.